Welcome. You're listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. I'm Ron Fraser. Today I'm talking about the oneness of God's messengers. Yes, I'm saying that there's an essential oneness between Moses, Christ, and Muhammad. Yes, this oneness also includes those other religions like Buddhism and Hinduism. And it includes the messenger of God for today, Baha'u'llah. I've been struggling with this for weeks. This is the third time I've tried to write this talk. The problem is that it's a very simple concept, but when it's approached by someone who's not a Baha'i, they bring to this concept so many preconceptions, and it's difficult to reconcile them. So I have given up. I'm not equal to this task. So what I'm going to do is read a talk that was given in 1912 by Baha'u'llah's son, Abdul Baha, while he was in New York. So here's his talk, word for word. What is real unity? When we observe the human world, we find various collective expressions of unity therein. For instance, man is distinguished from the animal by his degree or kingdom. This comprehensive distinction includes all the posterity of Adam and constitutes one great household or human family, which may be considered the fundamental or physical unity of mankind. Furthermore, a distinction exists between various groups of humankind according to lineage, each group forming a racial unity separate from the others. There is also the unity of tongue among those who use the same language as a means of communication. National unity, where various peoples live under one form of government, such as the French, the German, the British, etc. And political unity, which conserves the civil rights of parties or factions of the same government. All these unities are imaginary and without real foundation, for no real result proceeds from them. The purpose of true unity is real and divine outcomes. From these limited unities mentioned, only limited outcomes proceed, whereas unlimited unity produces unlimited result. For instance, from the limited unity of race or nationality, the results at most are limited. It is like a family living alone and solitary. There is no unlimited or universal outcomes from it. The unity which is productive of unlimited results is first a unity of mankind, which recognizes that all are sheltered beneath the overshadowing glory of the All-Glorious, and all are servants of one God. For all breathe the same atmosphere, live upon the same earth, move beneath the same heavens, receive effulgence from the same sun, and are under the protection of one God. This is the most great unity, and its results are lasting if humanity adheres to it. But mankind has hitherto violated it, adhering to sectarian or other limited unities, such as racial, patriotic, or unity of self-interests. Therefore, no great results have been forthcoming. Nevertheless, it is certain that the radiance and favors of God are encompassing. Minds have developed, perceptions have become acute, sciences and arts are widespread, and capacity exists for the proclamation and promulgation of the real and ultimate unity of mankind, which will bring forth marvelous results. It will reconcile all religions, make warring nations loving, cause hostile kings to become friendly, and bring peace and happiness to the human world. It will cement together the Orient and Occident, remove forever the foundations of war, and upraise the ensign of the most great peace. These limited unities are, therefore, signs of that great unity which will make all the human family one by being productive of the attractions of conscience in mankind. Another unity is the spiritual unity which emanates from the breaths of the Holy Spirit. This is greater than the unity of mankind. Human unity or solidarity may be likened to the body, whereas unity from the breaths of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit animating that body. This is a perfect unity. It creates such a condition in mankind that each one will make sacrifices for the other, and the utmost desire will be to forfeit life and all that pertains to it in behalf of another's good. This is the unity which existed among the disciples of Jesus Christ and bound together the prophets and holy souls of the past. It is the unity which, through the influence of the divine Spirit, is permeating the Baha'is so that each offers his life for the other and strives with all sincerity to attain his good pleasure. This is the unity which caused 20,000 people in Persia to give their lives in love and devotion to it. It made the Bab the target of 1,000 arrows and caused Baha'u'llah to suffer exile and imprisonment 40 years. This unity is the very spirit of the body of the world. It is impossible for the body of the world to become quickened with life without its vivification. Jesus Christ, may my life be a sacrifice to him, promulgated this unity among mankind. Every soul who believed in Jesus Christ became revivified and resuscitated through this Spirit, attained to the zenith of eternal glory, realized the everlasting life, experienced the second birth, and rose to the acme of good fortune. In the Word of God, there is still another unity, the oneness of the manifestations of God. Abraham, Moses, Jesus Christ, Muhammad, the Bab, and Baha'u'llah. This is a unity divine, heavenly, radiant, merciful, the one reality appearing in its successive manifestations. For instance, the sun is one and the same, but its points of dawning are various. During the summer season, it rises from the northern point of the ecliptic. In winter, it appears from the southern point of rising. Each month between, it appears from a certain zodiacal position. Although these dawning points are different, the sun is the same sun which has appeared from all of them. The significance is the reality of prophethood, which is symbolized by the sun, and the holy manifestations are the dawning places or zodiacal points. There is also the divine unity or entity, which is sanctified above all concept of humanity. It cannot be comprehended nor conceived because it is infinite reality and cannot become finite. Human minds are incapable of surrounding that reality because all thoughts and conceptions of it are finite, intellectual creations, and not the reality of divine being, which alone knows itself. For example, if we form a conception of divinity as a living, almighty, self-subsisting, eternal being, this is only a concept apprehended by a human intellectual reality. It would not be the outward, visible reality, which is beyond the power of human mind to conceive or encompass. We ourselves have an external, visible entity, but even our concept of it is the product of our own brain and limited comprehension. The reality of divinity is sanctified above this degree of knowing and realization. It has ever been hidden and secluded in its own holiness and sanctity above our comprehending. Although it transcends our realization, its lights, bestowals, traces, and virtues have become manifest in the realities of the prophets, even as the sun becomes resplendent in various mirrors. These holy realities are as reflectors, and the reality of divinity is as the sun, which, although it is reflected from the mirrors, and its virtues and perfections become resplendent therein, does not stoop from its own station of majesty and glory and seek abode in the mirrors. It remains in its heaven of sanctity. At most, it is this, that its lights become manifest and evident in its mirrors or manifestations. Therefore, its bounty proceeding from them is one bounty, but the recipients of that bounty are many. This is the unity of God. This is oneness, unity of divinity, wholly above ascent or descent, embodiment, comprehension or idealization, divine unity. The prophets are its mirrors, its lights are revealed through them. its virtues become resplendent in them, but the sun of reality never descends from its own highest point and station. This is unity, oneness, sanctity. This is glorification, whereby we praise and adore God. Now that's the end of Abdu'l-Bahá's formal talk. He then offered this prayer for the group of people. O my God, O my God, verily these are servants at the threshold of thy mercy, and maidservants at the door of thy oneness. Verily they have gathered in this temple to turn to thy face of glory, holding to the hem of thy garment and to thy singleness, seeking thy good pleasure and ascent into thy kingdom. They receive effulgence from the sun of reality in this glorious century, and they long for thy good will in all great affairs. O Lord, illumine their sight with the vision of thy signs and riches, and quicken their ears with hearkening to thy word. Render their hearts replete with thy love, and gladden their spirits with thy meeting. Deign to bestow upon them spiritual good in thine earth and heaven, and make them signs of unity among thy servants, in order that the real unity may appear, and all may become one in thy cause and kingdom. Verily thou art the generous. Verily thou art the mighty, the spiritual. Thou art the merciful, the clement. Now I'd like to read, again word for word, from a paper written by Shoghi Effendi, Baha'u'llah's great-grandson. This was written to the UN Special Commission on Palestine in 1947. These are his words. The fundamental principle enunciated by Baha'u'llah, the followers of his faith firmly believe, is that religious truth is not absolute but relative, that divine revelation is a continuous and progressive process, that all the great religions of the world are divine in origin, that their basic principles are in complete harmony, that their aims and purposes are one and the same, that their teachings are but facets of one truth, that their functions are complementary, that they differ only in the non-essential aspects of their doctrines, and that their missions represent successive stages in the spiritual evolution of human society. The aim of Baha'u'llah, the prophet of this new and great age which humanity has entered upon, he whose advent fulfills the prophecies of the Old and New Testaments, as well as those of the Quran, regarding the coming of the Promised One in the end of time on the Day of Judgment, is not to destroy but to fulfill the revelations of the past, to reconcile rather than accentuate the divergences of the conflicting creeds which disrupt present-day society. His purpose, far from belittling the station of the prophets gone before him or of whittling down their teachings, is to restate the basic truths which these teachings enshrine in a manner that would conform to the needs and be in consonance with the capacity and be applicable to the problems, the ills, the perplexities of the age in which we live. His mission is to proclaim that the ages of the infancy and of the childhood of the human race are past, that the convulsions associated with the present stage of its adolescence are slowly and painfully preparing it to attain the stage of manhood, and are heralding the approach of that age of ages when swords will be beaten into plowshares, when the kingdom promised by Jesus Christ will have been established, and the peace of the planet definitely and permanently ensured. Nor does Baha'u'llah claim finality for his revelation, but rather stipulates that a fuller measure of the truth he has been commissioned by the Almighty to vouchsafe to humanity at so critical a junction in its fortunes must needs be disclosed at future stages in the constant and limitless evolution of mankind. Okay, now switching back to my own words, such as they are. The Baha'i writings state, as you've just heard, that the basic principles of the world's great religions are the same, but we only stated it. We haven't proved it. I would like to do that, but the problem I have is that you, as a Jewish listener or a Christian listener or any other listener, have some ideas that you think are crucial to religious truth, and you probably think that they separate your religion from the other, the false religions. I can only refer you to my previous talk on the essence of religion. I hope you'll go back and listen to that talk if you haven't done so already. I'm going to close with the Word of God Himself, instructing us to find unity in our beliefs. I realize that this isn't a proof either, but it is a commandment. Here is His words. O contending peoples and kindreds of the earth, set your faces towards unity, and let the radiance of its light shine upon you. Gather ye together, and for the sake of God resolve to root out whatever is the source of contention amongst you. Then will the effulgence of the world's great luminary envelop the whole earth, and its inhabitants become the citizens of one city and the occupants of one and the same throne. This wronged one hath, ever since the early days of his life, cherished none other desire but this, and will continue to entertain no wish except this wish. There can be no doubt whatever that the peoples of the world, of whatever race or religion, derive their inspiration from one heavenly source and are the subjects of one God. The difference between the ordinances under which they abide should be attributed to the varying requirements and exigencies of the age in which they were revealed. All of them, except for a few which are the outcome of human perversity, were ordained of God and are a reflection of His will and purpose. Arise, and armed with the power of faith, shatter to pieces the gods of your vain imaginings, the sowers of dissension amongst you. Cleave unto that which draweth you together and uniteth you. This verily is the most exalted word which the Mother Book has sent down and revealed unto you. To this beareth witness the tongue of grandeur from his habitation of glory. Dear friends, if this kind of spiritual exploration appeals to you, I hope you'll subscribe to this podcast and to other Baha'i podcasts. And remember, you're welcome to join us at any time. You've been listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. If you'd like to learn more about the Baha'i faith, call 1-800-22-UNITE, or in Florida, call 850-543-2129. Look on the internet at www.baha'i.org for the international site, or www.baha'i.us for the U.S. site. Remember that Baha'i is B-A-H-A-I. In Florida, our website is www.emeraldcoastbaha'is, with an S at the end, .org. EmeraldCoastBaha'is.org. If you'd like to look up other Baha'i podcasts, go to our website, EmeraldCoastBaha'is.org. At the bottom are links to other Baha'i podcasts. I'm Ron Fraser. You can email me at panhandlebaha'is@aol.com. Thanks for listening.